Would you kneel with me in prayer? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would gather together today out of the world to hear Thy Word preached, Father, I pray that as we would draw our thoughts and minds, that Your Spirit would be active amongst us, that it might energize us and renew us. Father, as we would gather together, we ask that You would pour out Thy Spirit upon our brother. Touch that portion of Your Spirit which is within him. Give him liberty of thought and word, that we might be edified by the message that You have brought today. Father, I pray that You would bless Your church and Your people wherever they might be. Our loved ones in foreign lands, those who are isolated, Lord, we ask as well that You'd bless those who are pure in heart, wherever they might be. We ask, Father, for that You would touch the hearts of men, that they would prepare themselves and be able to be used as You would see fit and call them out to serve as pastors and teachers. Father, our thoughts are with our missionaries as they would travel, asking that You would watch over and protect them and prepare the way before them, that the gospel would continue to go forth to new places and to new people, according to Your prophecy and according to Your commandment. Help us to be strong, Lord. Please bless our local here, knowing the problems we face from time to time, asking for Thy Spirit to be among us, to guide and direct our thoughts and our actions. Father, I pray that You'd be willing to correct us and chastise us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that You would humble us, that whatever might be Thy will, we'd be willing to be called Thy people. So, Father, I ask, Father, for a blessing upon our meeting today, for a blessing upon Your servant who would speak to us. Thankful for this opportunity we have. Thankful for the gift of Thy Son. Thankful for the Scriptures we have. We ask, Father, that You bless our many sick and afflicted, physically and spiritually, and we ask it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue this morning with number 218, number 218, and while you're looking that up, I'll read the announcements for the week. This afternoon, after lunch, we're going to assemble the Hand of Fellowship at 3:30 is choir, 5:30 is a song service, and 6 o'clock we'll have a preaching service with our brother Hubert Yates. This Wednesday at 6 o'clock, the children will gather to sing, and at 7 o'clock we're going to have a prayer service. This Saturday, May 3rd at 2:30 p.m., there's going to be a baby shower for Abby Shear at the Hedrick home. Next Sunday at 9:45 is Sunday school. 11 o'clock we'll have a sacrament service with our brother Joel Yates in charge. 3:30 is a choir service. 5:30 is a song service. And 6 o'clock we'll have a preaching service and I'll be your speaker. Saturday, May 10th, there'll be a men's breakfast at 9 o'clock at the church. And it's followed by a work party. Also on Saturday, May 10th, there's going to be a young people study at 7 o'clock at Jim and Kim's home. So bring your scriptures and a snack to share. Wednesday, May 14th, will be our triannual business meeting. So keep that in your thoughts. If there's things that you desire to discuss as a local. And May 23rd, the young people are going to go have an outing to see a Titanic film at IMAX, and they're inviting anyone who would like to go so that they can get a discount rate for a group. So get a hold of Jim and Kim if you are desirous of that. It's going to be in the evening of May 23rd. Is Gage home yet? No, not home yet, huh? Okay, so we need to keep Gage in our prayers as well, and as well I ask that you would remember the Brown family. They got a whole house full of sick people. So in your prayers, I'd ask that you remember them. Yes?
I have a cousin in Iowa who has been diagnosed. She had breast cancer, breast removed last year. She's got cancer of the brain, three tumors. Her name is Carol Davis, and her brother-in-law
okay, Louise's cousin, Carol Davis, has cancer that has gone into the brain. Is that correct? And she's back in Iowa. I ask for prayers for her. Are there any other announcements or people you'd like to remember? Carolyn Ross. Tomorrow is the surgery.
Tomorrow? I think so.
Okay. They were talking about it. I know that they were talking about it, but they're also going to be they weren't sure if they were old enough to
go there. Okay. Carolyn Ross is going to have bypass surgery tomorrow. Danny, you got your hand up? Chandra? Okay. Cars on the last legs. Okay. Well, we will keep that in mind as well. Yeah. Okay. Melissa's grandmother is down in Mexico, is still not doing well, and ask for an interest in her prayers as well as her father. Still looking for work? Okay. Melissa's mom as well will be traveling, as well as our missionaries in the field. Alrighty, number 218. Would you please stand?
Thank you.
On your prayerful attention to our brother and assistant pastor, Elder Jim Yates, Jr.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning. It's good to see you all here. This morning I would like to use as a reference Isaiah, the first chapter. And I apologize. I had to strip some walls yesterday, and the bleach that I was using kind of overwhelmed me. So my head and my throat are dry this morning. But I like to read from the 18th to the 19th verses in the first chapter of Isaiah. And it reads, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So come together today. I'd like for us to reason one with another and for you to reason within yourself several different personalities of God. I had one personality trait in mind, but as often as I found in scriptures, I can't just glean one idea out of the scriptures. There are several times that the scriptures are tied together. We would like to reason one with another. Reason within yourselves concerning these qualities of God. I'd like for you to ask yourself the question, why'd you come here today? Are you here because your parents said you had to be, it was mandatory? Are you here because you'd rather be somewhere else, but you felt like you had to be here, it was mandatory? Or did you get up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and shower, and get ready willingly to be here to meet God? Are you a willing participant in what God has to offer you? I'd like to turn over into the Book of Mormon in Mormon, page 712. Fourth chapter of Mormon, the 93rd verse primarily. It says, "Doubt not, but believing, and being as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your salvation with fear and trembling before Him." And then just the first portion of the 94th verse is, "Be wise in the day of probation, strip yourselves of all uncleanliness." He wants us to doubt Him, not doubt Him. Doubt not. Do not doubt His word. But to come believing. Believing in His word. Believing His scriptures. Believing in that what He has to offer us is worth our time. Worth our commitment. And that's something that hasn't changed. It was the same thing that He required from them of days of old. In our Sunday school class, if Moses showed up, would he have been able to lead the house of Israel out of Egypt? Would he have been able to do the things that God required of him? No, it had to take a deep commitment from him. Elijah to walk up in front of the king and tell him that the sin, the reason why the country is in such a bad chaos is because of the sins of the king. Was it just somebody that just kind of was wishy-washy? Or was it somebody that had to give a great deal of commitment? For Lehi, the Book of Mormon, to pack up his family and to leave his home and everything that he had, all his inheritance, to wander off into the wilderness and to prophesy into Israel, took commitment. Are you willing to put forth that kind of commitment? Not all of us are going to be these prophets. But in our own lives, our light can shine for those around us and put forth that commitment to testify the hope that we have within us. To testify of the fact that God lives and has requirements. Be willing participants in that. Ask yourself, what kind of Christian am I? The reason why I want you to ask yourself that is because we're going to turn over into James. The first chapter. The 16th verse, every time that I open up this part of James, seemed to leap out at me. It grabs me and it catches me and it makes me ponder upon things in my life. And it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Do not get sucked into the things of the world that puts down the Word of God, that changes the Word of God to make it easier and more palatable. But what I would like to read to you that goes along with the question of what kind of Christian you want to be or what kind of Christian you are is in the 22nd verses to the 25th verse of 1 James. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Anybody can hear. Satan heard and chose to ignore. Be a doer, not just a hearer. And be not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I was trying to remember who made this saying. That when a person looks in the mirror, the only person that is fooled is the fool that's looking at the fool in the mirror. We can deceive ourselves and make ourselves greater than we really are. For he beholds himself and goeth his own way, and straightway forgotten the manner of the man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and contenteth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Be a doer. Be a worker. Don't be idle and sitting by, thinking that I have done this much, therefore I can stop. That's what the world wants to teach us. Once saved, always saved is a phrase that I hear constantly at work. Oh, I live by grace. Therefore, it doesn't matter what I am or what I do. I live by grace. But that is not what the Scripture says. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be doing. Let's turn over into Alma, 5th chapter, page 325, starting in the 33rd verse. This is Alma talking to the people in Gideon. And he writes, "For I perceive that ye are in the path of righteousness. I perceive that ye are in the path that leadeth to the kingdom of God." As we stand in front of you up here, I can say I perceive that. But only you know if you're a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Unless God touches somebody else's heart or mind to say otherwise. "Yea, I perceive that you are making his path straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of the word that he cannot walk a crooked path." Personality of God. He cannot walk a crooked path. He walks a straight path. He walks a path that's in the light, not hidden. It's out there for everybody to see. He hides nothing. "Neither does he vary from that which he has said, neither has he a shadow of turning from right or to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round." He is not going to sanctify something that is wrong. He's not going to change it for either one of us. He's a jealous God, a straightforward God. "And he doth not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received unto the kingdom of God. Therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he who is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God." One of my intents here today is to awaken you to your duty to God. Awaken you to be aware of your needs. Be aware that there is a loving God that will help you with your needs if you come to him, and not sweep them under the carpet. Be a doer, not just a hearer. "That ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And I know that ye should be humble and submissive and gentle, easy to entreat, full of patience and long-suffering, be temperate in all things." Boy, does that sound familiar? Does that sound like grace to you? That's what it is. The grace of God. "Being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times." Being diligent. Being that doer. Christ says it in a different way in Matthew, the 7th chapter. says it very strongly. So when you're looking in that mirror or that glass and you're looking at yourself and you're reasoning with yourself and you're judging yourself, think about these words of Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those are the ones that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The doers, the workers, the diligent ones, those that endure to the end. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those are the ones that are double-minded. Those are the ones that cannot make up their mind what they want. They've accepted a form of godliness. They've accepted a portion of the grace of God. But then they want to shut the door and stop it right there, because they're unwilling to be willing participants in what God has for them. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be willing. He wants us to come with a full intent of our heart to keep His commandments, to strive that way. But those that are double-minded don't want to take that next step. And they are the ones that God will say, I never knew you. Back in Isaiah, in our reading, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Think about that as we turn over into Romans, the 6th chapter. If anybody finds my Romans running around, would they please catch it? Romans 6, the 14th through the 18th verse. For sin shall not have dominance over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God forbid that we will accept a portion of His grace, a portion of His loving kindness, but then be unwilling to accept the rest of it. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to, obey. For that person that we yield ourselves to, we are to obey them. His servants, they are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked. That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So they have changed their outlook. They changed their life from being that of the world and that of whatever they had in their mindset to become a servant of God. Being then made free from the sin, yea, become a servant of righteousness. Are you willing to become a servant of righteousness? Are you willing to strive to be that servant of righteousness? In Isaiah, once again in the 20th chapter. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It's a side of God that most people do not like to look at. It's one of his characteristics. We're not unicharacteristic. We all have our traits, our quirks. Why should we put God in a box that is one-dimensional when he's not that way? In Exodus, in the 15th chapter, the third verse, it says God is a man of war, a lord of war. He's willing to go to war for your soul. If you're willing to be a participant in the battle, he's willing to wager whatever it takes to keep you his. If you are willing to turn to him, allow him to do it. Let's turn over into Hebrews. The fourth chapter, the 12th verse. In Ephesians, do you remember what the sword was in the armor of God? Do you remember what it was? It was the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth, or the word of God. Ponder upon that as we look at this here in Hebrews. For the word of the Lord of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The very grace of God that we want to cling to allows him to look within our hearts, to see what our true desires are, to see what we want to do. For those of us that were baptized, we made the willing commitment to go into the waters of baptism. We made the willing commitment to take upon him, ourselves, his name, to become a member of the bride of Christ. Does it stop there? No. It continues throughout our whole lifetime to be willing partners, to keep that willing commitment. And the intents of the heart are things that we want to strive for. A lot of poetry is written about the heart. So why can it not apply to our religious lives? The intents of our heart. The thing that is most precious to us should be that which is in our heart, in our mind, and I like to say even upon our lips and tongue as we sing praises. Turn over into Matthew, the 10th chapter. Christ speaking. Speaking of that side of God that judges, that side of God that is the warrior, that side of God that carries a sword. Starting in the 34th verse of the 10th chapter of Matthew, Christ speaking. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth, but I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Can you lose your life in Christ? Are you willing to lose your life in Christ? Are you willing to give up all that you want and all that you desire and turn it over to Christ? That's a hard thing. Because it's part of our characteristic to want to hold on to everything. It's part of our characteristic to want to make the decisions. I want to know what my future is. I want to know what I'm going to do. I want to make this decision. I want to do this and I want to do that. And that's the same thing Satan said. I. But we're being asked to be willing participants, doers of the word, to relinquish that which we have and to give our life over to another. Not that we can see it here. Our reward is not here. But our reward is that which is eternal. That eternal life. Our souls have eternal life. And it's hard for us to look into that realm of eternity. It's something that I wrestle with daily. And I must remind myself daily that this is not for here and now. This is for then. This is for my future. For my children's future. Willing participants. Not drawn in kicking and screaming. Not drawn in begrudgingly. Not doing it begrudgingly. But a willing doer. In Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, Christ tells him, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." It goes against our grain many times to do the things that God would like to have us do. He is merciful. That is a trait. We live under His grace. That is a gift. He is long-suffering. That is a trait. He's put up a lot with us over the years. If He hadn't have, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't have the Scripture set before us to read, to learn of God and His desires and His wants for us and His personalities. So I'd ask that if you do not want to reason one with another, that you reason within yourself. And you reason with God why this is so important. Why did I have these struggles? And what can I do to help overcome them? And more importantly, can I submit myself to God to be a doer and allow Him to be the leader? I would like to close with a portion of the Psalms, the 27th Psalm. And I would like for you to ponder upon the words of David and see if these are the things that you can put within your mindset. See if these are the things that you could work into your personality. And David writes, "One thing I desire," and I hope this is the one thing that you desire most of all, above anything else, "I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temples." To inquire, to reason one with another. It's my prayer for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We're going to close this morning with number 365. Yes. Our brother Hubert has a procedure Tuesday. They're going to put another stent in his heart. So we ask for prayers for that need as well as all the other needs that were mentioned this morning. And the announcements for the week. Number 365, would you please stand? Thank you. kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we again approach Thy throne of grace this morning, thankful for this opportunity to come and hear Thy Word preached, thankful for the message that You caused to be brought to us. I ask that You'd help us to remember these things and apply them in our life, Father, as we would go about our daily activities. I ask that You'd be with us today as we have set aside today as a Sabbath, Lord, as we would visit this afternoon, that You would be a part of our conversations to speak one another concerning the welfare of our souls. I ask, Father, that You would bless our services this evening and Your servant who has the responsibility of bringing Thy Word to us, that You would grant unto him the message that is needful for us. Father, I ask that You would bless the many who have been mentioned this morning, who stand in great need of our prayers. We ask for a blessing upon the Brown family. Continue to ask that You bless Gage, that he would be able to gain weight and be able to come home to be with his brother. Father, I ask that You'd bless our brother Hubert and the procedure he has Tuesday. I ask that You'd bless Carolyn Ross, that You'd bless Louise's cousin and her need, Melissa's mother and father and grandmother, Chandra. Lord, we know that there are many needs. We also know that You are mighty and able to grant unto us blessings at Thy hand. And we do pray that Your Spirit, pray that the fruit of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit would be active among Thy people to receive, we would be able to receive strength from them in the hour of our temptation and the day that we live. And so, Father, I do pray these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.